Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of the this afternoon show. We had a lot of guests on, didn't we, today?
Yes.
Which is great. We're happy for
you. We love that. Yeah. Richard Osman from Pointless.
He was good.
House of Games.
House of Games, yeah. He's got a new book out.
Yeah.
Also with a new book out, The QI Elves from No Such Thing as a Fish, the podcast. Anna and James popped in again.
Yeah, lots got of some sporty stuff in there.
Facts.
And Paul Mathieu has written a fascinating book, a great story that you uncovered as well. That
was it's a Victorian tale of excess in higher society. It's got wife stealing, it's got gambling, it's got horse racing. It's Sunday night ITV1.
Yeah, or TalkSport.
This is our poor representation. No, but it's great. Anyway, here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Ah, good afternoon, Paul.
Can I say, you gave me something last week, Andy.
Yeah, cold.
Very kind of you. Yeah, you're stinking cold.
Sorry.
So I'm dosed. It's all right. It can't be helped. I'm dosed up in the nines. I
feel bad.
I just hope,
really.
I've not given it to
anybody
else, because I didn't really know I had it. When I shook the hand of Guy Garvey, I've shaken some hands. I'm trying elbow. Going to have to call a gig off because his voice is gone.
I know. I did that to Mario Stanic of Croatia and Chelsea.
You infected a professional footballer.
I did.
How did you do that?
A friend of mine who is Croatian as well, Bosnian actually, but half Croatian, and he basically made these Croatian pastries. They're fabulous, these things. And I said, oh, well, I'll tell you what, I'll take them down to the training ground and give them to Mario Stanic.
Right.
So I
what
gave
are they called then?
Bureks, I think.
I only asked. Come on. That's a tap-in, wasn't it? That was a tap-in.
I always pronounce it wrong anyway.
Yeah.
So they're delicious. They're kind of, you know, like a pasty or a small, or a, more like a samosa, I'd say. Actually.
Oh, okay, nice. So, yeah, a Croatian samosa.
Yeah, that's sort of a good description.
So you take them down to Mario Stanic.
Took them down, gave them to me. Oh, very grateful. Yeah, thanks very much. He ate them, I'll gather. Well, obviously he did. Because about a few days later, he was out. He missed the next home game with a cold. I had the worst cold.
Had you sneezed on him, or did you just shook hands when he gave them to you?
It's your hand, isn't it? If your hand.
So he shook hands with you, and
yeah.
See, I didn't when I was in Mr. Jake hands yesterday. I didn't realise I had the issue, but it certainly came out last night. Anyway, we sold you on. It's only a cold.
Yeah,
it's not that bad.
No, this is it. And you were talking about the North Korea and South Korea match, and there were no fans, no match reports either. I've managed to get one though because I'm well connected.
Good.
Actually, they're saying it was 0-0, but actually, I watched North Korean television, and it was 1-0. To North Korea.
Yeah.
Kim Jong-un got the winner with a towering header.
Did he really?
Rose above everybody.
I'm sure he would.
Tremendous.
With the back post.
The back post.
Yeah, like leapt like a salmon. Yeah, that's good.
Infantino, though, he's fantastic, isn't he? He said he was disappointed there were no fans allowed in, but said they can still have the World Cup if there's any votes in it. Oh, no, I added that last bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, that did sound a bit on the nose, even for Infantino, really, didn't it? Yeah.
Not that I'm cynical.
I don't have any joy trying to get to the bottom of this ferret that's at Castle. For the ground. Have you heard about this? There's a ferret.
There's
a ferret on the loose. We called Casper. They're not massively keen to talk about it. They're taking it quite seriously.
I
don't know how big this ferret is and what sort of havoc it's
a bit of northern stereotyping, isn't it? Rugby league and a ferret.
Well, I'd not thought of it like that. Well, I mean, basically, if it was running around London Broncos pitch, I'd still want to know about it.
It wouldn't be, though, would it?
But maybe they've caught it. I don't know.
Well, who knows?
We'll find out, anyway, if we can, a little bit later on in the show.
I finally found a race that Alan Brazil wouldn't want to bet on.
Oh, yeah.
It's the 320 at Wincanton. It's called the Tribute to Yeah, I'm doing it. Marcus Troscothic handicap hurdle.
Oh, yeah. Marcus Troscothic. Yeah, you nearly got it wrong as well, didn't you?
As well, yeah, true. And the Star, every day the Star have a four sort of text, you know, where they say, oh, please can you publish a photo of such and such, she's so sexy.
Guardian does as well most days. A little four section.
Yeah, they don't. It's a today's one from Grant Hatley, wrote to the Star, and he said...
Any relation?
No, I don't think so. Please print a photo of Sarah Pascoe. I think she's one really sexy woman. I was thinking, how much would Sarah Pascoe hate that objectification of herself?
Yeah.
In that?
But anyway, why don't you write a letter to the Star pointing that out to them?
I think
them?
I will.
Yeah, I may put it on. Yeah, could be. So, and, yeah, well, go on, you've got time. Go on, more. Squeeze it in.
One more. One in five Brits are too scared to make a full English breakfast as a survey.
Too scared?
I know. It's ridiculous. It's possibly the easiest meal in the world. Get a large frying pan and throw the whole lot in. You can't go wrong.
What are they scared of? Just the hot fat?
I don't know.
By the prospect?
Yeah, I've no idea what it is. But talking full English, I do love the name of the obesity champion, Tam Fry-Up. Tam Fry.
Is that really?
He should change his name to Tam Fry-Up.
Yeah, I did see
a woman. Do you remember that the dame?
I did see a woman.
A dame, whatever her name is, the health.
Blimey, you're taking it serious, aren't you, Dame? You do. It's all research
dame
for you,
Dame Sally,
isn't it?
Something I can't remember.
Dame, anymore. Whatever your name is, well, anyway, Aunt Sally.
The one who said the one who said you shouldn't eat on a train. It should be banned. And funny enough, I got on the train.
Is it Sally Hawkins? Or am I guessing? No. Is that somebody else?
That's an actress.
Oh yeah.
I got on the train. They got on the tube, and there was a woman. Quite a large woman, to be fair.
Okay.
And
we didn't need to know that, did
she
we?
She had a massive... Well, it's relevant. She had a massive sort of drink.
Oh, yeah.
And she had a whole bag of chips from a well-known fast food place.
Yeah.
And she was, like, digging into them.
She supersized, had she?
Yeah, well, she was digging into them on the train. I was watching and I was thinking, even if you stop this woman eating on the train, she'd just get off the train and go straight in there, wouldn't she? It's not going to make any difference. I mean, I must say, it isn't great to see people eating on a train, but they want to. It's a free country, isn't it?
Right.
At the moment.
It is. It's okay. Well, thank you for that, Andy. That does sound like a phone call to Mike Graham you just did then, but thank
I
you.
Did.
Thank you very much for it. Thank you, Andy, for your call.
And finally, from the court circular, the Earl of Wessex attended the Worshipful Company of Fuelers dinner. Yeah. And I was thinking, why are they? Is that petrol pump attendants?
They're people that deliver coal.
Oh.
No, of course it's not. No. I don't know. Oh, he says.
Well, I don't know.
Coalmen. They still have those coal persons.
I don't know.
No one does that
Sports
anymore.
Night
they? Not Chris Coleman.
Sports
no,
Night really. With coal persons.
Yeah, it could be.
That would have been a good show.
They'd have to have changed it, wouldn't they, really, in these enlightened times?
They would now.
Richard Osman can't get into the building at the moment. He's been held by security.
No.
One of the most recognisable faces in the country.
That's ridiculous.
All 6'7" of him. No, there are reasons for that. But he'll be fine. He'll be in shortly. They know Richard. They know Richard. Fantastic. We asked 100 people. Anyway, yeah, Richard will be here a little bit later on. Talk a bit of Fulham, as long as he's not wrestled to the ground in reception. We'll also
take
be...
Take about three to bring him down.
Talking... It would, yeah. It'd be like one of those things you see on a David Attenborough, wouldn't it, really? It'd be take a while.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport, making a welcome return to the studio is pointless and House of Games' very own Richard Osman. Good to
Hello,
see
gents.
You.
Hello, gents. Lovely
How
to be
you?
Here.
Yes.
First time in your lovely new studio.
Yes. Yeah, it's
lovely, isn't
wow.
it?
Impressive.
It's lovely.
You don't come to us in the best of weather, but it's a pretty decent view, isn't
beautiful,
it?
Beautiful, isn't it? Imagine if this was a flat, it'd be worth some money.
It would be. Maybe we can convert this into flats.
Yeah.
Or just like, it's used 24/7, though, isn't it? I mean,
well, it could be like George Clark's Amazing Spaces. That could sort of fold out into a bed and the whole bit behind me. Yeah, it could be work.
What we should do is this barricade ourselves in and sell this place.
Just rent it out, put it on Airbnb. So, House of Games, I was watching last night. It's the celebs. I mean, they're probably worth... I can't believe anybody hasn't seen it, but for those that haven't, just explain how it works.
Well, House of Games is a thing where forever we invent loads of quiz shows and game shows, and we're always having these little ideas. You think, oh, it's a really good idea for a round, but it's not enough for a whole show.
Yeah.
So House of Games, we took all the ideas we've ever had for fun little silly little rounds and put them all in one show. So I invite four celebrities along. They play for a whole week. week, every time I press a buzzer, a new round comes up. No one knows what it's going to be. I don't know what it's going to be. They don't. Mm. I don't know the answers. They don't. And we just play all these very silly rounds. And, you know, there's ridiculous prizes. And at the end of the week, one of them's a champion. So it's just a really fun, competitive play-along show, which is it's gone crazy since we did the first ones. And it's doing ever so well, which is lovely. Yeah.
And the celebs do take it very seriously. John Brandreth last night was... I think he's still ahead after three shows, but he was
he's quite
very
competitive.
On Monday, they're all really well behaved on Monday's show, and by Wednesday, they're at each other's throats, even the ones who say they aren't competitive. Yeah. The same. We had Ed Gamble and Ade Edmondson last week, and Ade Edmondson is Ed Gamble's like absolute hero, and he was so on Monday, he was so respectful. And by the end of the week, he's literally just sort of saying, don't give him a point for that. It's outrageous.
Oh, no, he's competitive on Taskmaster as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Fantastic. So you brought a book out for Christmas. Well, it needn't be for Christmas, but there's quite a few...
Let's be honest, it probably is.
Yeah, and there's quite a few Christmas-themed rounds.
Yeah, exactly. We've got 101 rounds from the show, lots of different things. Yes, we've done some lovely Christmas-themed stuff. There's some stuff that's been on the show, lots of ones that we've invented as well, and new games we've invented as well. We've got a thing called Imaginary Charades, where we just make up the name of some films and TV shows that you then have to do, which is nice, right? Because you've no idea what it's going to be. Suddenly you're having to do the Scottish fishmonger or something. I mean, listen, good luck this Christmas, everybody. So it's out today. But, you know, people kept saying we want a board game, this, the other. I'm not really a fan of those board game things because they tend to have, you know, when you look at them, the rules are ridiculous. Whereas with this, listen, there's all the questions there. There's all the answers there.
It's basically...
Do with it what you wish. Yeah.
Within a book.
You don't really need... Occasionally you might need your mobile phone to play some of these games. Yes, that's all. Yeah. There's not a pen and pencil, really.
Yeah, we've invented... There's some lovely little games you can play on your phone. And there's all sorts of fun little games in there, actually, which have never appeared on TV.
That's good. Excellent. And Pointless still continuing?
We just finished... So Wednesday, we finished this year's allotted span of 157. We did show 157 on Wednesday. We were delighted to finish that back in the studio in January. So, yeah, that's all done. I spend my entire life making quiz shows at the moment. I really do need to stick to the day job sometimes.
It must be hard for Alexander Armstrong. He's such a lovely fellow. He's so nice to the contestants.
Does he just... Yes. You kind of sense he probably after the show, he just writes them a cheque? Does he do that if they've lost or...
Xander, well, you know, he is an absolutely lovely fella. My favourite bit on Points. Occasionally, only occasionally, you get contestants you're not that keen on. But there's something they do or they say, and you think, oh, I don't know about that. My favourite thing in the world is like just walking back to the dressing rooms afterwards with Xander, and it's so rare. He goes, well, I didn't like them one bit. And you think, whoa, this is lovely.
I suppose it's worse if they've won the jackpot as well, isn't it, really?
Listen, I mean, no comment, but yeah, there are... And it really is very occasional because you get... But occasionally people win the jackpot, especially when the jackpot's up to quite a lot, and you think, oh, no, you haven't, have you? And I can see that, you know, I can see the scores for all the answers. So I'm in there 60 seconds and they'll say something and I'll look down and see it's a pointless answer. I know we've got to give them $8,000. You're like, oh, really? There it is.
Talking of winning the jackpot, I was watching Celebrity Catchphrase the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And you...
Of course, quite a friction.
I'm going to talk about this, were utterly sensational.
Thank you.
You won £50,000.
So 56,000, I think.
Yes.
Wow.
I mean, incredible. But the thing was, in the first round...
Okay, here we go.
For your chosen charity, you didn't buy a Lamborghini.
Oh, no. Happens to be a Lamborghini dealer.
Bought into a dealership.
A charity run by a friend of yours, if you want to give it a plug.
Yes,
a
charity called Child's Eye, which is... Listen, everyone thinks that going out and working in orphanages and running orphanages and giving money to orphanages is a good idea, and it's a bad idea. And J.K. Rowling's charity is the same thing. We need to close down these orphanages because they raise money for people. These kids are not orphans. And so Lucy Buck has gone into Uganda, closed down the orphanages. Now kids go back to family and relations and stuff like that. She does incredible work, but does it on a shoestring. So £56,000 to her is like...
Oh, going a long way. Wow, that's fantastic.
Anyway, so during the first round...
Where's this going?
No, I just want to settle a dispute between me and my wife.
Okay.
Because I said to him, Richard's going to be good at this, I know he is. And you started off and you were sort of all right, but you were sort of stepping back. And, I just felt...
Who are you up against, Richard?
It was Penny Lancaster and Greg Wallace.
Okay, yes. Right.
And I said to my wife, I think Richard he's going easy deliberately. He wants the others to win a little bit of money. I bet when it comes
to... Lull him into
it,
a false sense of security.
And then, of course, when you came to the actual jackpot bit, the final bit, whatever it's called, you swept through like no one virtually never see. And I said to her, I told you, he was holding back on the first round. Yeah. He was being generous.
Well, listen, I'm a TV producer more than anything else. and in that first round, I think the way it's structured, you make more money in the second round than the third round. So if you're going to look like a good guy, die.
Yeah.
The first round is the time to do it because that's where there's less money. I did after the first one. Greg buzzed in on the first one. I thought, uh-oh, is he going to be good at this? And then it became apparent after a couple that I was probably going to be safe. Mm. And then I allowed a little bit of rope out.
Very honest.
You've got to, right?
Yeah, of course you have. And of course they were delighted because you doubled their money as well.
Well, that's it. And that in the final, the pyramid thing, there's a particular square, and if you get that, everyone's money is doubled. So
it was a scam, basically, was it?
Yeah, a little bit.
It was a scam.
But it was such a treat, firstly, I love Catchphrase, such a brilliant format.
Yeah.
And to go on it, because I tend not to go on quizzes and celebrity quizzes and stuff, because I think that's, you're on a hiding to nothing. But on that, and to be able to raise 50 grand for an incredible charity, doing something that I loved watching, this is an absolute treat.
Was that when you were producing, Richard? Was that? Well, you probably still are. Aren't you still producing?
I still sort of keep my hand in. I mean, I'm slightly more hands off than I used to be. I'll be honest. You remember on Are You Being Served, old Mr. Grace, who just used to wander down and say, "You're doing very well." I'm a little bit more like that now at Endemol, so they don't see so much of me. But as a producer, I admire that show. I don't admire it as much as Family Fortunes. That's the greatest format of all time. But I love a bit of Catchphrase.
Pointless doesn't often end up in dumb Britain in the private eye. Occasionally it does, not as much as some other shows do.
Tipping Point.
Tipping Point seems to
rule
in that case. But you occasionally get some corking answers. Do you have any favourites?
We do get some wrong answers. I mean, look, the classic was who was shot by Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas. To which they gave the answer J.R. Ewing.
Yeah, of course they did.
And you think, I see how you got there.
I see how you got there,
that's for sure.
Do you like it when occasionally one of the questions turns up, one of the answers turns up in one of those kind of...
We love it, Dumb Britain. If you're in Dumb Britain, we love that. I mean, it doesn't lend itself to it so much because we ask such weird questions, which tend to be sort of list-based. But no, it's always, we like to get more answers in Dumb Britain than The Chase. That's our real...
that's the ongoing battle.
We should talk a bit of Fulham.
Yeah,
please.
Doing very well, aren't
they? By the way, would you do? I mean, it'd be interesting. Yeah. You're going to get Bradley in a celebrity Pointless, and you on the celebrity Chase. Is that doable?
This is a terrible admission, but I've never really watched The Chase.
Well, you're on at the same time, of course.
So I don't really know what the format is. I know it's good. I played it once on Celebrity Juice.
Yeah.
I was on and Bradley was on, he made me play it. And I didn't quite, even with my producer's head, I couldn't quite work out what was going on.
But a bit of a sly dig at the format.
It's a great format. I know it's a great format. That's
the mind games. Yeah. Bradley goes in tomorrow and he's thinking, he's right, this doesn't hold, it doesn't work.
Poor Bradley, they record in the studio next to us and they don't have an audience, which for Bradley is like torture.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
So any opportunity he gets, he comes into our studio, comes and sits in my seat and plays to our audience.
He's brilliant.
Yeah,
that's great.
Excellent. That's crossing the streams.
Yeah. I saw you on the box recently at Fulham. They cut you in the crowd.
Okay.
So you're still getting along. How are you feeling about the season?
Yeah,
so far?
I think it's been a great season. I think, we've genuinely got... If we can't go up with that team, something is up. We've got Mitrovic and Cavaliero and Knockart up front. The defence is working all right with Harry Arter. Tom Kearney is the best player in the division. I mean, genuinely, you sort of think, well, if not now, then when? Because we got a terrific team. There's a really, really good atmosphere there. Scott Parker, everyone loves Scott Parker, don't they?
Yeah.
Every football fan, whoever you support, loves Scott Parker. It's a real treat. And look, it's a double-edged sword. The Championship is such a laugh.
Yeah,
I mean, it's proper football, isn't it? It's really
three
good fun.
3 points covering nine teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's really, really extraordinary. I think we went up from 10th to 4th the other day with one win, and it's an absolute treat. And the Premier League was not fun at all.
No,
but at the same time, you still want to go up.
Yeah, of course.
So what's that about? Having so much fun, and it's so much more fun than last year. But we would sell our grandmothers to finish in the top two and go up and be whipped again in the Premier League. Yeah. There you go. That's football, isn't it?
When Ryan Sessegnon is finally fit, which we hope he will be sometime before Christmas, what are your expectations of him at Spurs?
Well,
what have we got?
I love Ryan Sessegnon. He's a really, really decent human being. He's a really, really good guy. I think it's fascinating. I don't know what you pay for us, 25 million or something. And who we replaced him with?
His brother.
His twin brother.
Yeah.
We immediately replaced him with his twin brother.
Another Sessegnon.
Who is just as good.
Yeah.
That's like the time we sold you Moussa Dembele and replaced him with someone else called Moussa Dembele.
It's a pattern, yeah.
So Sessegnon is a really good player. He's not a left back.
No.
He's a forward, and he works hard and he'll learn. And I would have thought that Pochettino would be very good news for him. Listen, I mean, who knows what's going on at Spurs at the moment? It feels like the the walls are falling off.
I think he'd definitely get a game if he was fit, though.
A little,
yeah. Oh, he's going to play. He's going to play a couple of under 23 games. He'd probably be back in about sort of 3 weeks' time.
Well, you listen, he's an absolute diamond. He's a lovely guy. Whether he's going to be your first choice for the next 5 years, I couldn't tell you. But if there's anyone there who can learn and adapt and all that kind of stuff, it's Ryan Sessegnon, and he won't get any problems with him. He's a really, really decent human being.
Excellent. Well, I look forward to seeing him. Richard, thank you ever so much.
Pleasure.
As always.
Book out today.
Yeah, out today. House of Games, 101 new and classic games from the hit BBC series. It's delicately poised midweek. You got Ian Sterling, haven't you?
Ian Sterling, Charles Brandreth.
That's right.
I love the mix of people that we get. Scarlett Moffat.
Scarlett Moffat, yeah.
Is on and Angelica and Bell.
Angelica Bell. And yeah, she won some luggage with Richard's face on it last night.
We got great prizes. Fondue sets, all sorts of things.
Fine array of gifts. Yeah, brilliant.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Kumar Sangakkara joins us in the second hour of the show today. Later on, we'll be chatting to the guys from No Such Thing as a Fish, the fine podcast. The QI Elves are back and have a new book out with a lot of weird and wonderful sporting facts, amongst other things. And we'll be looking at the possibility also of the El Clasico moving from the Nou Camp to the Bernabeu because of the political situation in Catalonia. But first, an amazing story I was alerted to by Marcus Armitage, a journalist, former jockey, of course. And the story of the Marquis of Hastings, which I thought, if it was fiction, it would be a sensation. But the fact it's true, it's even greater. It's all the story is told in Paul Matthews' book, Jewel, how Lord Hastings stole the pocket Venus and how her fiancé was avenged. Paul, good afternoon. Good to see you.
And you, Paul. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it is a quite amazing story, isn't it? I mean, it's a sports story because the racing is very much the backdrop of this, isn't it?
Yes. When the girl that he married, Lady Florence Paget, was said to be the prettiest girl in England at the time, and her nickname was the pocket Venus because she was beautiful but small. And she was actually engaged to somebody else, a man called Henry Chaplin, who Harry Hastings knew quite well. And the wedding dress had been ordered, the invitations had gone out, the presents were bought, and the eve of the wedding, she eloped with the Marquis of Hastings.
Wow.
Which was not a good career choice. Henry Chaplin was a stable, steady guy, and Hastings was a madcap.
So, but obviously he had something about him. I mean, she was drawn to bad boys, was she?
I think so. I mean, art and literature and life are full of examples of, the girl falling for the bad guy, because for a while at least it's going to be much more exciting than being with a good guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Chaplin liked to talk about politics and tiger shooting and crop rotation, all, you know, terrifically interesting to their adherents, but maybe not to a young girl who wanted to dance.
Yeah, it's it must have been a huge sort of society scandal then when this happened.
Oh, enormous.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, with all respect to you, there was no radio then.
No.
There was no TV. There was no external entertainment. People just sat around in their living rooms chatting, and for months this was the main topic of conversation.
Did it make the newspapers at the time?
Oh, did it ever?
Yeah. Okay.
It was in all the London papers, and their stories were strung out to the regionals and the locals. I mean, as far as I can see, it was in pretty well every newspaper in the country.
Wow, wait.
Did you use those to research the book? You must have gone back into those.
Yes.
Old, yes, of course.
How did you first discover this story then, Paul?
Well, I knew about the Pocket Venus. Mm. And, you know, as often happens with these stories, they attract a sort of tale of rumour and whisper and fact and unfact. And so I thought, well, look, let's research it. And I was obviously interested also in the racing side, because once Chaplin had his fiancée stolen by Hastings, he decided to get his revenge.
Yeah.
And the chosen weapon was to buy expensive young horses to run against Hastings' horses.
what a fantastic way to get your own
it
back.
It is.
Well, it was ruinous, because they were spending, I think, on a couple of horses that he bought, Chaplin spent the equivalent of 50% of his entire estate income for the year.
Wow.
And they paid prices that no one had paid before for horses. I mean, if you were a vendor of young bloodstock, this was, you know, like all your Christmases coming at the same time.
Yes. Hastings himself was a helpless gambler, wasn't he, really? I mean, it just you highlight some of the things he did, not just horses, but spider racing, him and his friends indulge in.
That's the absolute favourite. I mean, if it didn't exist, you couldn't possibly have invented it. Yeah, when things were quiet and there was no racing and the weather was foul, they warmed up a table.
Mm.
And the plan was that you would get the spiders in the middle of the table and you would bet, like kicking horses, on which of the spiders was going to get to the outside of the table first. Well, of course, spiders can't really be trained. No. And they're not naturally cooperative.
No, that's very true.
And so, yeah. You know, for quite long periods of time, absolutely nothing happened. The spiders would just sit there. And, of course, this was anathema to Hastings and his adrenaline-fueled friends.
Wow, yeah. And other things, I mean, it was the betting on a fly, which lump of sugar it would land on, stuff and drips of water down a window pane when it's raining, just anything.
There was absolutely nothing that Hastings wouldn't bet on. And his underlying problem, well, he had several underlying problems, but one of them was that he would start drinking at breakfast time.
Yeah,
whatever he had for breakfast, it was usually something prodigiously unhealthy. He would wash it down with a bottle of red wine.
Wow, wait.
And the day went downhill from there. And, it doesn't need, you know.
It's a shame there wasn't radio in those days.
I think Alan had done the breakfast show.
He could have got a show.
Hastings and, that would have been good, wouldn't it?
Hastings and McCoy's.
Yeah.
He, basically, the derby, it sort of all played out, didn't it? That was the sort of culmination of it, and it was pretty costly.
It all played out, yep, in the Derby of 1867, where Chaplin had a promising young horse called Hermit. But Hastings had taken it into his head that Hermit was not going to win the Derby, and it all became personal. He turned bookmaker and laid the odds against Hermit.
Ah.
And so when the bookmakers were going 20-1, Hastings would go 25-1 or 33-1 just to get the money in. Eventually, he accumulated liabilities of, in our money, north of £10 million.
Wow, wait.
So it was just a binary bet, zero or one, win or lose. And 10 days before that derby, Hermit bled on the gallops at Newmarket. You know, he burst a blood vessel.
Yeah.
Now, nowadays, the horse would just have a line put through its entry and it'd be taken away and looked after. But, you know, they were a bit more robust then.
Mm.
And they just rested it and they kept it cool and they kept it calm and they got the horse to Epsom. And lo and behold, in the last few yards, it won the Derby.
Wow.
And there was a transfer pretty well directly of £10 million from Hastings to Chaplin. And Hastings was ruined.
Yeah, wow. And that race itself, that derby, 30 runners, 10 false starts. It snowed, didn't it?
Yeah, yes, they had four seasons in one day, most of them unpleasant.
Wow.
They did have a lot of false starts in those days because they didn't have starting gates, obviously. Sure. They didn't even have tapes. And if a jockey felt that he was disadvantaged, he was in a bad position, they just turned their horse away and shout to the starter, "Not now, sir."
So what happened in? I mean, yes, we won't. I said we won't give away the.
No, don't
we won't
give away
guess
the
not
end.
Give away
no,
the end
no,
of the book. But it'd be right. Interesting. It'd be interesting to see what happened to Hastings. He was on a bit of a path of destruction, which may give you a clue. I would imagine certainly with those sorts of debts and the lifestyle that Paul has just outlined. But there are some wonderful pictures of Chaplin as well here, who kind of lived to a ripe old age, didn't he?
Well, he did. I mean, spoiler alert. I mean, Hastings died very young of dissipation, you know, just drinking.
Was he 25, was he? 26 yeah. years old. He's like Charlie Parker. Lived
That's
the life
incredible.
Of a 60-year-old man. That's amazing, isn't it? So, you know, I mean, and so what of the Pocket Venus? Did she remarry? I take it Chaplin didn't give her another chance.
No, that particular boat had sailed. She married, and after the experience with Hastings, she was on record as saying that she was never, ever going to have anything to do with horses again. And lo and behold, she married someone who effectively was a professional gambler.
Wow.
And I don't think it was enormously happy, but it was a better experience than with Hastings. She had three children. Eventually, not long into the marriage, it became a, you know, two-household affair. You know, they didn't spend too much time together. But she did good works in her local communities and, you know, in my eyes at least, completely redeemed herself. She just made one awful mistake.
Yeah.
And in those days, people took it as being her character rather than her judgment.
Right.
It seems to me there was nothing wrong with her character, but her judgment was catastrophic.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Will you allow me a little indulgence? I want to give publicity to something that I'm going to be part of, but I think it's very important.
Okay, yeah.
It's the Youth Charter. Our old friend Jeff Thompson, MBE, who we've spoken to on the show many, many times, does wonderful work with kids around the country, especially in Manchester where he's based, but also the idea is to spread this out, and he really does understand these kids, and he gets to them and gets through to them, and it's a brilliant thing. And there's going to be a celebrity gala dinner.
Nice.
On the 20th of November at the Queen Elizabeth Olympic Park. I think it's part of the... Yeah, it looks like it's part of the Orbit thing. That's part of the... Oh, you get a ride on the Orbit. Anyway, it's a lovely dinner. And I shall be part of the auction.
You're going to be doing... Well, you're up. You're going to be auctioned off.
No. Jeff has asked me to help. Jeff has asked me to help run the auction.
Oh, okay.
And I said to him, look, I'd be happy to do it, but I said, I'm not very good at... You know, I'm not very sort of aggressive at getting people to do stuff. He said, don't worry. He said, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Which, of course, he will. I'll just announce the things. It should be a lot of fun the whole evening. So if you want to go and
have a look. Is it Harry Gibbs? Is it Dickie Bow?
It is a Harry Gibbs.
It's a full Harry Gibbs evening.
It's the full dress black tie.
Yeah.
As I say, it's on the 26th. Have a look at the Youth Charter website. I should think it'll be on there. There are tickets available, individual tickets and tables as well.
So fantastic. I've always been tempted, you know, to go...
You should come as well. It'd be good then.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah, we always have.
I'll invite you.
Oh, thank you very much. We always have a Harry Gibbs evening.
Oh, we like a Harry Gibbs evening.
Where you wear a Dickie Bow. Harry Gibbs, the great boxing referee, would wear a bow tie and a white shirt. So if we're going to a do, we get invited to a do. Andy, I'll say, we've been invited to this. Andy said, is it Harry Gibbs? I said, no, it's just lounge suit.
That was last week.
But we should, we should go. I'd like to do a Mickey Van. Mickey Van. So go there in a red shirt with a bow tie. Yeah. Have a Mickey Van evening.
That would be a good
sort of stag party outfit, I think.
it's a good
20, 30 Mickey Vans wandering around Benidorm.
Now, I heard Barry Hearn on Breakfast this morning.
Yeah,
and
he was giving it back to Ronnie, wasn't
he? But I've got a feeling, I don't know why, but I've got a feeling these two are in this together, Barry and Ronnie. It feels like an X Factor strictly PR effort.
They've created a feud.
Yes.
I don't know.
You think it's really genuine?
Well, we've talked to Ronnie about this, haven't we, in the past, and I don't ever sense that he's part of some publicity charade. I don't think so.
He's playing in the tournament. He's commentating in the tournament.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, we'll see anyway. It's getting a lot of good publicity. So
It is. Well, we talked about it with Ken Doxley, didn't we?
That's right. Peter Crouch has gone off the footballer's meal. This is the blackened cod they serve at Nobu.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm glad I pronounced that correctly. I normally get that wrong.
Yeah. Embarrassingly,
exactly,
you do.
I
That's
do.
Right.
And
it sounds like, when you make it sound like a rather rude clown, don't you, when you say
I do,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, we're not taking the kids to see him again. It wasn't quite what I was expecting.
It is odd that that is the sort of thing that footballers love. I suppose it's very healthy, so I suppose that's the idea behind it.
But, and it's not cheap, is it?
No.
What are you paying for your blackened cod in Nobu?
No idea. I have been once, many, many years ago.
Oh, right. You were in the top table.
Well, I thought it was a bit expensive, to be really honest.
Now, as we know, many fans groups, indeed many fans that like to plan their future fixtures, are a bit up in arms about the next Premier League picks. And on it goes. They've clearly got a few late issues. It was supposed to be 4 o'clock this afternoon. We know, as Toby was just saying, we've got the 8 o'clock kickoff, and people in uproar about that. The Leicester.
Are these
Liverpool.
All the fixtures up to Christmas? Because these are really important for people trying to arrange their family time, trying to arrange their travel costs, days off, all that sort of thing.
Well, it was going to be a 4 o'clock announcement, which has now been put back to 5 o'clock, apparently. So they must have a few last minute issues around the TV scheduling, because they're all going to be on Amazon, aren't they? The whole day's programming.
Yeah.
Will be on Amazon. So they're going to have 4 separate kickoff times. I'm sure you're aware of this now. 12:30, 3 o'clock, 5:30 and 8 o'clock. Mm. So I'm quite interested to know. We're at home Boxing Day, I think, Spurs, for a change. So I'd normally go to a match. I'll double check that, but I think we are.
You're not 8 o'clock at night, which is good.
No, I must say,
I would not
be,
fancy a game on Boxing Day at 8 o'clock. The whole thing about Boxing Day football is that it's either early morning or mid-afternoon, but it's you know, it's a follow-on from Christmas, which of course this year, once again, turkey, pigs in blankets and sprouts will be soaring in price, as they do every year.
There was Brussels sprouts, shortage of Brussels sprouts.
Shortage, yeah, it's bound to be a shortage.
We'll have that story about the 10th of December, then you won't be able to move for them by the 25th.
True. Even the slice of lemon in your drink could be more expensive, says food buying firm Lynx Purchasing.
Okay, that's nice, isn't it? Anyway, just to let you know that not just on Amazon on TV, but every single one of those games on Boxing Day will be on the TalkSport network, all available on the app, so you can listen to all the matches.
That's good.
As they unfold that game.
Oh, we're going to need a lot of commentators.
Take your
pick.
We
might be pressed into service.
Oh, I wouldn't think so. I don't think we'd be particularly good commentators.
Like the worst game.
I mean, it'd be a lot of it'd be you and me going, just tell us something. Tell us something that's
happening. What's happening.
We can find 10 commentators. I'm sure we've got a fine army of commentators here already. You know,
but 10's a lot, and then you need and 10 experts.
Look, thankfully, Andy, it's not your responsibility.
It's my problem. That's
Leave
good.
That to other people.
Very true.
Anything else you want to say?
I don't know. Do you see this French bloke who's laying claim to the throne?
No,
he's threatening legal action to prove his father should have been Britain's king.
Sorry.
Sorry about
the cold. I do apologise.
François Grafdieu.
Thank you ever so much for that, Andy.
Well, yeah.
For the cold.
François Grafdieu, 73, claims his gran had a secret son by womanising, not my words, Prince of Wales, Edward later, Edward VIII. That was him, was it?
He's not going to sue you. Don't worry about it.
Exactly.
Edward VIII.
He's had 3 requests for royal DNA turned down. So
really?
He's planning to sue Buckingham Palace. I don't know what he gets out of it. If he proves it, what's he hoping he'll get?
He can't,
Windsor Castle.
Can't go marching up the Queen with a swab. So this is for some French bloke with some crackpot theory, can you?
Yeah, it could be difficult, though.
Can't
really.
Be doing that.
Yeah, not really.
We never found out any more about Castleford Tigers' loose ferret, did we?
No, we didn't.
We're getting no help from anybody there. So
doesn't anybody in the local news know?
No one can shed any light on it, unfortunately. Oh, it's probably still running around madly. Right. Also, another story, a bit of a Johnny Nash. Nighttime metal detectorists left footy pitches full of holes at a club in Sittingbourne in Kent. You don't do that.
Well, it's not much of a mystery, is it? They obviously thought they'd found something. They started digging up the pitch.
But you think it was just like sort of Sunday morning pitches in a kind of municipal park? I mean, if it was Sittingbourne FC, whoever they are, if it was Dynamo Sittingbourne's ground and they had floodlights and you had to walk into a stadium, that'd be a bit much. Like that old episode of Porridge, isn't
it? True, yeah.
They dug up Ellen Road.
Wouldn't be good. It'd be like the pitch they had at Ireland played on the other night. That was really strange. You don't see that very often, do you?
No, that was pretty terrible, wasn't it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport, and you may be aware that the people, the QI Elves, who do so much fine work on the TV show, have their own podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish. They're kind of well, I mean, I think if you're a QI office, it's pretty obvious. It's not a thing about rugby league, is it? It's going to be very much in line with the nature of QI. They have their book of the year out, and Anna and James from No Such Thing as a Fish have rejoined us. Good to see you. It's been a while, isn't it?
Thanks for having us.
It's about a year, I think.
So, yeah, again, it's so much. We, myself and Andy, trade in a lot of this kind of mad, these kind of crackpot stories from around the world. And certainly there's one of the football stories this time around. And we did speak to this guy, didn't we? The guy who pushed a lawnmower around Blackburn Rovers pitch 273 times. And that's the sort of stuff you're after, isn't it?
Yeah, I'd love to hear what he had to say to you, actually. I missed that interview, but what did he... Because he
was
had
out
a
of
bad
breath,
time.
If I remember rightly.
Yeah. I think he said there was no more lawn to cut.
Didn't he? It was 58 miles, wasn't it? And he actually ended up quite sick at the end.
Did
he? Really bad indigestion.
Yeah,
he just had dehydration.
Well done. Good recovery.
I think he was
having your lunch. That was good.
Oh, actually, I won't tell you what he had then.
But why did that? I mean, was that just a virus or what?
I think it was severe dehydration.
Ah, yeah. Okay, right.
Because you know those balmy days up in Blackburn.
Oh yeah.
Exactly.
So how do you? I mean, have you got your own team now? Or do you have to go and search all this stuff out?
We do it, really. Yeah. Wouldn't trust anyone else with it.
So do you comb the papers every day like we do, and then you look for these stories, and then you compile them and save them and do stuff like that? Yeah,
we absolutely do. Yeah, for the whole year, we're just reading everything that we can put our hands on and then snaffling it away if we think it's interesting, and then we come to write the book.
Some of the facts and stuff in the book will be familiar if you're a listener to the podcast, will they? Or are they kind of a completely different sort of set?
A few of them maybe, but I would say the vast majority a different set of stuff, because I guess it's all so newsy, current affairsy, but not the news that you will have read.
Yeah.
I don't think you will have heard the vast majority on the podcast.
It's a kind of quirky review of the year, the book, isn't it, really?
Yeah,
exactly. In some of the
mad stories. These, I love this one. Spanish football team called Mosteles Balompi changed its name to Flat Earth FC because their president is a supporter of the Flat Earth movement. It'd be great if you played then. It was a bumpy pitch.
We're playing downhill this half, lads. We could fall off at the end of the earth. That's
maybe
true,
that's what convinced him. He's always playing on these flat pitches. Yeah. He's going, this doesn't make sense. Yeah, he really believes in it. And
a lot of people do.
And now all the supporters of that team are now Flat Earth supporters as well, technically, aren't they?
So rather than rail against it, they bought into the whole thing.
They bought into the whole thing.
I mean, looked over the edge. That's what it is. Once you've looked over the edge, you never go back.
I think Freddie Flintoff, is he believing?
I think he believes in the flat earth as well.
Does he?
Situation.
But it's not just, it's not all this. We've picked out some of the sports stuff, but I did like this one. The US Center for Disease Control warned hedgehog owners not to kiss their pets.
Oh, yeah.
That's all these people getting some sort of strange strain of salmonella through kissing hedgehogs.
Yeah, I think it was the only thing that could unite them when they got all these salmonella cases, and they questioned and they asked all the usual questions on the doctor's forms, you know, what's your gender, what's your etc. And then, have you kissed a hedgehog recently? And that was the only one that they all said, yeah, I have.
That is a long form, isn't it? Where have you kissed a hedgehog is at the bottom of
it. Exactly. Question 412.
So, yeah, this is all the kind of crazy news from the air, but we can promise that there's no Brexit in there whatsoever.
Oh, okay. That's the
one thing that we've stayed away from.
You've kept it clear.
So many of these things are what Paul and I, we call them a Johnny Nash, which means there's more questions than answers. You read it and you think, what on earth happened here? And this one, a nurse who broke the record for the fastest marathon dressed as a nurse had her attempt rejected because she was dressed as a nurse. And you think, what happened there?
That's like a two runnies delivering that, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was this poor woman. I think she's called Jessica something, and she's an actual nurse. She ran the marathon in her scrubs, broke the record, and then Guinness actually dictates, I think the quote in Guinness is, if you're running as a nurse, you have to be wearing a blue or white dress, a white pinafore apron, and a traditional white nurse's cap. So essentially, be dressed like someone out of a Carry On film as opposed to a real nurse.
Yeah. But they changed their mind, didn't they? They were under so much pressure. I do remember that story now. That was the London Marathon, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, they were under so much pressure to change it. They gave them their medal.
Absolutely, they did.
Which is exactly what they should be doing. There's some corking sports ones.
I want to ask, how did the sport of non-agility Legionarian Cycling was hit by a doping... Is that people cycling for people over 90?
Yeah, it is.
Why was it hit by a doping scandal?
So it was a guy called Carl Grove. He was 90 years old and he was racing in the 90 to 94-year-old individual pursuit. And they found he had some anabolic steroids in his system. And he said that he'd eaten some tainted meat. And they did kind of think that was probably true, but they took his medal off him anyway. But the sad thing is, they took his medal off him. He was the only person in that race.
Okay.
So no matter what kind of drugs he'd have taken, as long as he got to the end, he would have got the prize.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
This sounds like a good gig in Mexico. The president is a big baseball fan, so he's appointed a government minister for baseball, head of baseball. Sounds like a good job.
Yeah. Excellent job if you're a baseball fan.
Of course.
Obrador, nightmare job if you're not, obviously. he loves it. In fact, Obrador has been sort of cutting back on a lot of government expenditure in Mexico, but the one place where he won't cut back is on baseball policy, and he's sort of got sports policy, and all the budget goes on baseball, and he plays in his spare time a lot. I think he's in his 60s, likes to play whenever he can. And yeah, the Minister for Baseball is tasked with various things. Like, I think he's been told that he has to get 60 to 80 people into Major League Baseball in the next 6 years, I think. Wow. Which is quite a big ask.
And I think the big thing for Mexican players, if they can, of course, make it in major leagues, it's very, very lucrative. And there have been players who have done that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We spoke to Rick Riley, who's a journalist, a little while ago. He's written a whole book about Donald Trump's golf exploits and his cheating at golf.
You've read it, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah, it's a great book, isn't
it's
it?
Such a good book.
And he kind of trolls Trump now. He says he kind of picks out this game here where you said you scored this. You know, I've checked and you didn't score anything like it.
I wasn't sure about Trump, but when I heard that he cheated at golf, that's when I really lost respect for the man.
Yeah. There's a whole long line of presidents who did, actually. Most American Bill Clinton was called the Mulligan King.
It's a book, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a fantastic
golfer. Some of them were really good golfers. Apparently JFK would have been a really good golfer, but didn't really play much before he became president, but he had a natural ability that could have made him a very low handicapper.
There's a lovely story. Greenpeace displayed a banner saying Trump well below par, I take it, because, you know, the nature, the kind of the green nature maybe of some of the ways he puts his golf courses together. But he quite liked it, didn't he?
Yeah, so of course.
He thought they're complimenting him on his golf.
Exactly. That was actually in that book. I think it's called Commander in Chief, isn't it? It was actually in that book that I read that.
That's sensational.
Poor old Greenpeace. Not a lot of overlap between Greenpeace supporters and huge golf fans, apparently. Yeah. Didn't quite get.
What a surprise. And we were talking off air about QI, it's still massively successful. And we were saying, what a brilliant job Sandy's done, hasn't she?
Oh, absolutely.
From Stephen Fry.
Yeah, she has. She's done a brilliant... She's really made it her own, and she really likes to get involved with the research, doesn't she?
Yeah, gosh, she does. Yeah. Heavily. No, we love it. And she's at the moment, I think the Q series is on at the moment, which was a really fun series to do because not a whole lot of words start with Q. So you had to go very, very deep to try and cover a whole series worth. We're having a lot more fun researching R, which
will go out next year.
Oh, okay.
So it's a different letter every year.
Yeah,
of course. We did a lot of quantum stuff and queen stuff.
Yes.
And this week, I think the show is called Quests, which is all about a space theme.
Oh, okay. The podcast's very popular, isn't it? No such thing as a fish going from strength to strength.
Yes, indeed. We hope so. We're about to go on tour in America in, next month for the first time, which should be really fun. And of course, this book of the year, that's our third one now, so...
It's a new thing, this, isn't it? We've spoken to Luke Moore, who does a podcast, and then taken it on the road. People, there's an audience for this, which is surprising. You think the thing of listening to something, which is a personal thing, and then sharing it with other people in an audience wouldn't quite be the same thing, but it seems to be.
It really does. I think people like it because with podcasts, people often feel like you're their friend because you are sort of intimately in just their ears for a while. So whenever people come to our shows, they just say it's like suddenly being with my mates. It's weird that you don't know who I am because I feel like I've been friends with you for years.
It's good.
So, yeah, it's
great. Because of the internet, of course, it's a global thing. So we just put it on the internet and people can listen all over the world, which means we can do shows in America and in Australia as well and all over.
Excellent. Mm. So when are you off to the States then?
I think it's in...
Start of November?
Yeah, start of November.
And is that the first time you've been to the States to do shows?
It is, We can't wait.
Yeah.
We're playing the New York Comedy Festival.
Yes.
Oh, nice one. I think this book will take up residence, obviously perfect for Christmas, you would say, and it will take up residence in many a toilet, I think. In the nicest possible way, I think it will. It's that kind of book.
That is absolutely not an insult at all.
Perfect to dip into.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast
from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. You could see that, couldn't you? You could almost cast it in your head.
Yes.
It would be great telly.
Oh, I think so.
Who would play the Marquis of Hastings? Who would you cast?
I mean, he was in Grantchester, James Norton.
He's a bit old. He's playing in his 40s. I mean, he died when he was 25.
What about our producer, John Caddy?
Yeah, okay. That's interesting casting. I think we might have to cast the net a touch wider to get ITV on board at 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. Yeah. CSE drama. Well, you got GCSE drama. Oh, well, what time can you start then?
You're in.
We'll see you on location. Anyway, that's us. We're live from Cardiff tomorrow with our good friends at Green King. We've lots of top guests in the world of rugby, football, comedy and more. So we hope you can join us then.
Been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.